This year marks the 20th anniversary of The Moth, the nonprofit organization dedicated to the art and craft of storytelling. Inspired by friends swapping tales on a small-town Georgia porch, The Moth gained a cult following in New York City and then rose to international acclaim with the wildly popular podcast and Peabody Award-winning public radio show. Since its launch in 1997, The Moth has presented tens of thousands of stories, told live and without notes, to standing-room-only crowds across the world. For the new collection, The Moth presents All These Wonders, True Stories About Facing the Unknown. The creative minds of The Moth have selected some of the best stories ever told on its stages, adapting them to the page while preserving the courage and raw energy of live storytelling. The book is edited by The Moth's artistic director, Catherine Burns, and Catherine joins us on the roundtable this morning. Catherine, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, before we go too far, let's talk about the actual anniversary of what you make of that phenomenon of being around for two decades.
Well, we're just thrilled. I mean, I think we kind of can't believe it that it's been 20 years. You know, a lot of us have been, wasn't there in the very beginning, but I came along not so long after. And a lot of us who run the organization have been around for more than 10 years, which is sort of crazy. But it's been exciting. You know, one of the most exciting parts for us is watching not just The Moth grow up, but live storytelling in general. There's now, you know, thousands of storytelling organizations around the world, like as far away as Antarctica and India, and we really have to think of it as a movement, and that's just been so exciting to see.
So you like that you're not suing them for copyright infringement?
No, we love it. Like the fact that people want to come, and we can't be everywhere. We wish that we could be, but we can't. And in a way, it's also beautiful when local groups, you know, do their own local thing that has its own, you know, that they have their own flavor. And we think that's really wonderful because storytelling is best, you know, when it has a feeling of the community that the audience is in, which is wonderful.
As you mentioned, you haven't been there for the full 20 years, but at what point did The Moth get a sense that it had tapped into something?
I mean, I feel like they've got a sense from the beginning. I can tell you when I moved to New York City, I write about this in my intro to the book. I started hearing about The Moth, and people were like, it's a brilliant thing. It's very hard to get a ticket. You have to, there's no advance sales. You have to just come and sort of fight your way in like an animal. And so I came just a few nights in, and there was just something so magical about it. You know, I think it's no coincidence that The Moth has grown up hand in hand with like the age of the internet, and also like not far behind movies just becoming so big and blow them up, and it takes, you know, thousands of extras and people to make a movie, that there was something in that which is exciting, but that made people also want to return to something a little simpler and get a walk away from their devices and connect with one person, either at a live event or, you know, listening to the radio show, which is sort of an old-fashioned way to hear things too. So I think it makes sense. Like there's something in us that we still want that, even as we also want to be on our devices, you know.
Of course. You know, it's interesting to me, too, because obviously as a station that plays The Moth, you understand how important it is to people. We always hear this during the fun drives and so forth. And it's the stories that really stay with people, and then people tune in next week because they want to hear another story that stays with them for a while.
Yes, I think that's true. You know, it's always the stories that you love the most are the ones that you end up repeating to your friends. I mean, I have to say, after working at The Moth 15 years, I still have that, where I'll hear one, and I always know it's a good sign if, like, for the next 2 weeks, every friend I see, I want to tell them that story. So that's, you know, that's one of the things I love about it. And it's always one of the signs that we have a good story is when we keep repeating it, it's a sign that we need to put it up on The Moth stage.
So given the popularity, obviously, and all of the stories that have come to you, has that made it more difficult over the years because there's more to choose from?
Well, I mean, that's an embarrassment of riches, really. We can't complain. Like, I have to say, back in the day, sometimes it was really tough to get people to do it. You know, they didn't know what it was, or, you know, when they did know what it was, and this still happens. People thought maybe it was a little scary, like, what, stand on stage? People get nervous in the beginning about the fact that we don't allow them to have notes. They have to stand up there without notes. But you know, we find that notes sort of takes away it. When you're up there with notes, it keeps you from connecting in a really authentic way with the crowd. And then people get up there, and like 1 minute in, they're so happy to be up there without notes, you know, because they feel the love of the crowd. And that love really lifts you up and carries you through even the most intimate stories.
This particular collection, what went into this idea of looking at Facing the Unknown?
Well, it was interesting. We read about 400 stories to choose the ones that are in this book, so we ended up going with about one in four. And we started to notice that there was a theme running through most of the ones that we loved the most. And in most of them, somebody would try something new or be forced into a new place, maybe against their will, because something happens. And when they have leaned into what happened and tried to really make their way through it, that they always came out the other side in a more interesting place. And Matt Inman, who was our editor at Crown, who's wonderful, we thought that was really interesting and worth exploring. And so when we put that theme onto it, it also, you know, narrowing 400 down to 45 is very tough, and that helped us narrow it down also.
What is also fascinating is, and of course anyone who listens to the show regularly knows this, but from voices both familiar and voices you've never heard of. And it's that mix that is so fascinating and wonderful to listen to as well.
Thank you. We think so too. I mean, we always say that people come to the show, you know, to see Louis C.K. or some of the more famous names, but they go home that night and, you know, we hope that they also talk about Louis, but that they go home and they talk about Carl Pilateri, who is one of the stories in the book. He was one of the few Americans in the nuclear reactor at Fukushima. Or they go home and they talk about Dory, a woman whose parents were refugees, and they all came over from Afghanistan, and her suddenly realizing why it was so crucial that they stay in America, because she learns that her father had been tortured by the communists. I mean, so they come, you know, because they hear that someone's telling a story that maybe they've heard of, who they love, but then they walk away having met, you know, other people who, you know, are now going to kind of, whose stories hopefully will live on in their hearts in some way.
You do have that moment often when you're listening to The Moth, though, where the story's going along, it's very funny, and you're just waiting for that shoe to drop, right? You're just waiting.
Sorry about that.
That moment where, oh, all hell, it's just going to go right now.
It's true. It's true. I think the most gifted storytellers, though, are the ones who can tell a very serious story but still have beautiful moments of comedy in it, and to do it in a way that doesn't take away from the seriousness of the story. You know, if there's some people, or maybe less successful at storytelling, who they crack a lot of jokes because they're clearly a bit afraid of the material, right? But there's something so magical when someone comes up there and they're cracking stories. They're very organic to the story. And because life, even when it's incredibly difficult, can also be quite funny. I mean, those two things go together. And the most gifted storytellers, you know, weave them together in a really magical way. It also gives the audience a break. If something is a little intense, they can take a breath before we keep going.
It is quite a process from the time that somebody has a story to the time that it airs. Talk a little bit about that process, and also talk a little bit about your role as artistic director.
Great. Well, yeah, the process is, it differs for everybody, but and we have a team of directors, and everyone works a little bit differently. But for me, I'll get on the phone with a storyteller, and you know, we'll sometimes talk for an hour, even several hours over the course of months, you know, trying to figure out what story they might most want to tell. I mean, we're looking for like the biggest stories in people's lives, which maybe sounds like a tall order, but it sometimes can take a while to find a story that's really meaningful for them. Then once we do, I do have this funny thing that I like to do where I will email them bullet points of their own story, because I find that when people hear a stranger kind of tell them back what they heard in a clean way, that can be actually easier. Like, it's easier to react off something that someone sent you. It can be overwhelming when it's your own life to sit down and have to bullet point it out yourself. And then we go back and forth, and then eventually I get them on the phone or I get them in person, and they actually tell me the story using our bullet points. So trying to cut out all the extra stuff. And usually they're about 20 minutes, and then they keep telling it and making trims and telling it and hopefully popping out the parts that are most important until we end up at a place where they can tell the story in about 10 or 12 minutes. The stories aren't memorized, but they have worked them out enough so that they know their beats. Because 10 minutes goes by very fast. That's why we practice with people.
Have you seen the storytelling and the stories that are told change and evolve over the two decades?
To some degree, I think that in the early days, you know, they were still determining what the moth was going to be. I mean, there was a sort of an infamous incident back in the day where a storyteller told a gorgeous story that then later turned out not to be true. And I wasn't around then. But from what I hear, it was like, people freaked out that it wasn't true. And there was real debate about whether or not that was okay. And I think ultimately the people who felt it wasn't okay kind of won out in the community. And so now we really do push people to tell true stories. Like if we were to find out at some point that the story we were working on wasn't true, we wouldn't put it up. If we found out later after they told it wasn't true, we would take it down. Because there's so many places to tell, to do wonderful fictional stories. You know, we just think it's nice for the moth to be a little bit more pure. So that's an example of something that shifted a little bit over the years. The stories also used to be longer. You know, initially there was like a 15-minute time limit, but we found that if you give people 15, they go to 20, and so we've gradually dropped it down to where it's, we usually now say 10 or 12, but you know, people go 13 or 14, and who's really looking?
It was nice to see. We hosted an event with the moth maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it was nice to see one of those stories. Amy Biancalli's The Weight of a Ring made it into the book. That's very nice.
It sure did. Amy is just the most brilliant woman. I adore her. Meg Bowles from our team worked with Amy. And, you know, Amy is one of those people. I can still remember, like, where I was standing the first time I heard her story. Like, I was standing in my bedroom. I was on the phone with Amy and Meg. And she is one of those people. I mean, the story, as you know, is very serious. I don't think it's any spoilers because it's in the first few sentences of the story. She opens the door. There's cops at the door. I think as she puts it, you know, we've seen enough movies to know what that means, and her husband has committed suicide.
Right.
But the story evolves around her decision of when to stop, like if she's going to stop wearing her wedding ring. There's like a lot of different ways that you could tell a story like that, but the fact that she focuses on the ring, it gives the story structure. And one of the things I loved about Amy is she is one of those people who can be telling a very serious story, and then right in the middle of it, just like throw in a couple of jokes that are so funny. I mean, she's such a hilarious person, but they never take you out of the story. Like if anything, the jokes pull you deeper into the story. And so having her at the moth, it was just such a pleasure. I'm hoping she'll come tell another story for us one day soon.
Which brings up that other point. Yeah, at what point do you want people to come back and tell other stories, or do you like to keep it as fresh as possible with new storytellers?
There's a balance, right? A lot of people will tell one story at the moth, and that's it. That's all they want to do. You know, that's their big story, and they're done. But other people, you know, we all know those people who, you know, can walk to the store to get a bottle of milk, and it turns into an epic tale that they tell for the next 20 years. So, but I think the moth, it works best when we have a little bit of both. So as far as people telling other stories, you know, we're always like, well, if something comes to you, and sometimes, you know, 5, 10 years will go by, and they'll be like, hey, something happened, and I think it might be another moth story, and then it'll be amazing, and we're like, hooray, you know. So it's funny, like, you have someone like Andrew Solomon, the writer, who I think, I don't even know what we're up to, but it's between, like, 5 and 10 stories he's told, and they're all so wonderful. But that's pretty uncommon. Most people tell a story, or maybe two, and that's it, because we only do about 100 original main stage stories a year, and we just want to make sure that we're always out there getting people from all walks of life. And so, you know, we have to leave the door open for new people, too.
The Moth is celebrating its 20th anniversary. They are presenting a new book entitled All These Wonders, True Stories About Facing the Unknown. The book is published by Crown, has a beautiful foreword by Neil Gaiman. Catherine Burns is the editor and the artistic director at The Moth. Catherine, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. I love Albany so much. It's a huge honor to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Again, the name of the book, All These Wonders, True Stories About Facing the Unknown. The book is published by Crown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.